You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. This is Asia. And as always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
Doing good. Great to be back with you. A lot to cover. Whenever we do this, it's always after 2 weeks. So feels like we've seen a lot of Married at First Sight in that time.
Right. Exactly. And it feels like it's been forever. I can't put my finger on it, but it feels like our last episode with Mari was like a month ago.
I know. That was a fun one. So go back and check that one out if you guys haven't heard that yet.
Yes, please do. That was definitely a fun episode, hearing Mari's perspective and just hashing you're going through all of these couples and just their multiple issues that each couple has. But before we dive into episodes 13 and 14, I just wanted to kind of just, okay, now that we are like a couple weeks out from decision day, Amy, what are you thinking can change? Because I think it's been a good season. It started so strong, right? In terms of the good couples and the like drama couples. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's almost as if the season is too long.
I'm feeling that way as well. It feels like we can see the writing on the wall for a lot of them, good or bad. And then the ones who are, it's a little bit iffy, are just not bringing enough excitement.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel like they tried to make up for that with the recommitment day that they mm-hmm. started a few seasons ago. So where was that?
Yeah.
Like, we're so close to decision day. So clearly that's not happening this season. And I wonder,
that's true.
Is it just because there are so many iffy couples?
And we're going to lose half the cast here. So I wonder, because I feel like they could have done it, because even like Jacob and Haley, they tried to do that like 1 month anniversary reset. So maybe a recommitment ceremony would at least help redirect a little bit. Instead, now they're totally mm-hmm. hopeless. So I'm wondering if it was like maybe a COVID overcorrection. I know we haven't seen a ton of, like, where it doesn't seem like they're implementing a lot, but mm-hmm. they aren't able to go out and film at different places. So I think we lose some excitement there. And it was more exciting, I feel like, when we were in New Orleans and it was like uncharted territory, and it was right. they had to film themselves, and it was dragging on a little bit, and they kind of condensed those weeks. But I feel like we learned more about those couples then, whereas now it just sort mm-hmm. of seems like we're missing something.
Yeah, exactly. And that's funny you say that they're overcorrecting, because I was thinking about that too with New Orleans. They didn't do it because of the COVID situation, but then they got to see couples stay together that may not have, like Miles and Karen.
I know. Like, I love them so much.
Yes. They benefited from that extra time together. Like, their relationship got stronger. So maybe they're thinking, well, let's not cut off the couples too early, because then maybe they won't, you know, get where they need to be if they cut it off too early or they give up too soon.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But there has to be a happy medium, though, because you know, for us to just get to four couples in episode 14, you know, I mean, I would definitely love to see more of the, I guess, stronger couples or couples that stand a chance where it's like Haley and Jacob, if they had made it to like the recommitment day and decided not to continue, I would have been perfectly fine with that.
Yeah. Instead of just like pettiness overload that we have to watch.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's the writing's on the wall, like you said.
And I think, I mean, I always come back to this, but I think my solution would be these earlier seasons, we saw the experts involved a lot more. They didn't have to have visits. They had video calls, but they would intervene and these issues would not have to drag on. Like this bracelet thing that came up this last episode could have been dealt with 2 weeks in and not been carried over and cause resentment on both sides. So those little things could, I think it would make for better television because then new issues are always going to come up. So why not, like, let's watch them work through it or not work through it, but at least have that conversation, because it's not like they stop showing video calls. We see video calls with family members all the time. So
exactly, because it can't be just like, oh, it's COVID, so you can't just call Dr. Viviana up. Like, no, that's the perfect situation. But it's as if like, that's not, that option isn't available to them. Whereas in the past, they knew, like, if I'm frustrated with this person, I'm going to call one of the experts, which I don't know why that's not an option.
Maybe even like, okay, so maybe, let's say that Pastor Cal and Dr. Viviana and Dr. Pepper, like, they negotiated really well. They're like, okay, we're just coming on three times. That's it. But then add somebody to the mix, add a new expert that's more like a coach, or like even have, you know, I know she's not everyone's favorite, but like Jamie Otis or like another couple, like assign a different couple who's like been really successful to like, okay, I'm on call with you and like tell you like you should get over this or here's what you should do, you know, so that there's something that's a little more engaging. Because otherwise I think they're having these conversations that we're not seeing off when the camera's not there. You know, to jump ahead, but like obviously that conversation with Haley and her mom about the bracelet, like it's not the first time they talked about it, but we just saw it later on. So things like that, like we aren't missing something.
Exactly. And maybe if we didn't have five couples, we would have been able to get into that. But I mean, because they were able to carry seasons just fine back in the day with three couples. And I mean, so yeah, like the experts' involvement can definitely be stronger. The season may be a little bit too long, and then in terms of the length of the episodes, do you think they need to be 2 hours?
Yeah, probably not. Like they can maybe move the couples cam or one of these other shows they're developing, and just have 2 hours back to back of, you know, two different shows, like 1 hour, 1 hour.
Yeah. Because that's really what's kept me from watching. I have this season of Couples Cam on my DVR recorded, but have I had the time to watch it? No.
Or the desire.
Exactly. I'm like, okay, if I have the time, oh no, let me start The Circle, or let me watch old episodes of Community because I've never seen it.
Seriously, like I think I watched one of the Couples Cam. I was really hopeful. I'm like, oh, Ben and Amelia, this is gonna be great. I've never seen them appear. And just the content is so boring. Like, it's just like they feel like they have some dynamic couples, but it's the things they're doing just not exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So it's tough because I feel like they may have lost people through this season because there was so much, like every episode was just jam packed, and now it's kind of just like, well, you know, I got a couple of things out of that episode. Otherwise, it was just super repetitive.
Yeah.
So.
And they're really trying to hype it up in the ads.
Yes.
This latest ad, they're like, it started out with, you know, drama and fights and shoving and pregnancy, and it's nonstop and no visa required. And I'm like, whoa, shade there, 90 Day Fiance. We didn't see like a ton of like exciting drama lately. So
right. And like, yeah, like why the dig? That's like a different network. What are you doing? Oh, that's hilarious. Oh man. Yeah, they're trying. They're like, look, maybe they're looking at the ratings. They're like, no, no, no. We got to get this together. We got to bring people back. But I'm ready. I'm just, I'm already ready for decision day. You know, like I feel like any of the new drama that we're getting each episode, we've gotten a different variation of it from that couple already this season. So wrap a bow on it and I'm good.
Definitely.
So, so yeah, we can dive into these episodes. As always, we're going to cover both episodes for each couple. And so for just to set the stage, episode 13, Dr. Pepper and Pastor Cal met with each couple individually. So they didn't meet as a couple. They met each person involved in this experiment individually. And the purpose was to kind of fill out how they're doing and then address any unanswered questions they may have in order to take it back as a follow up with their partner. And then for episode 14, the goal was to share personal experiences with their spouse. And so maybe things from their childhood or things they really love to do. And then Dr. Pepper also paid each couple a visit to address those unanswered questions to see if they talked about it. So we got a lot, a double dose of Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I was happy about that, I will say.
I like her.
Yeah. Would you, do you have a favorite expert?
I think because she's the original, she's probably my favorite. Don't always agree with kind of, seems like, especially lately, it seems like maybe she takes sides a little more. But I think her advice usually is a little more pointed and, you know, doesn't like let the couples off too easy on some of their like little like squabbles, you know, like they, like she really wants them to like put the work in and treat it like a marriage. So, doesn't let them off too easy.
Gotcha. Yeah. I like that too, that she's very direct and, you know, sometimes from Dr. Viviana, she's like going around the issue. I like her compassion though. I like her approach. So each one brings something different, you know. Pastor Cal, of course, is always, he's hard, like he's tough on the guys when they're not
do like that.
Right, when they're not doing what they need to be doing.
Yeah. So I think he'd probably be my favorite one to meet with, because I'd be like, oh, he's gonna be on my side.
Yeah, exactly. And he even calls out the wives sometimes. So like he was hard on Virginia about like staying over to her guy friend's house. So yeah. So the couple we'll start with today is Paige and Chris, and that is because we only got them on episode 13 and we got no mention, not a single scene from them in episode 14. I was fine. I was glad about this.
And
we'll get into why you we get no mention of Paige and Chris in episode 14. So so episode 13, so Paige met with Dr. Pepper, and so like at this point, you know, we've beat a dead horse about Paige and Chris's relationship. And so Dr. Pepper was apologizing to her. She's like, look, on paper, everything looked good. And I had no idea like what a mess of a life he had behind the curtain. And I thought that was a very interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
She ends up calling him a narcissist. She said that like Paige is the superior one in this relationship. And she was just very, it was very clear, obviously. I mean, who isn't on Paige's side? But it was her showing like, hey, I know that we matched you with this man and we realize now was not a great decision. Don't beat yourself up about this because this is not your fault. This is why he was not a great husband. And so I was glad the way she lined it out. Yeah,
she was like, he's a extreme narcissist and we did not realize that. So.
Yeah, she said he doesn't think about anybody but himself. And Paige brought up how, like, you know, he had her meet Mercedes, his baby mama. And Dr. Pepper was like, you know, why do you think he wanted you to meet with her? And Paige was like, yeah, I don't know what the purpose was. And Dr. Pepper was like, yeah, it was just to hurt you. It was to hurt you. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It's like literally no other reason. And they end their conversation with Paige saying, like, she just needs to face him on decision day to ask him why he signed up for this. I don't know why Paige all of a sudden thinks she'll get an honest answer at that point.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just better that it ended, because she would have, it seemed like she was going to keep trying, like, because mm-hmm. she was so, like, focused on being a wife.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we've had in those, like, past couple episodes, she came to the realization that she was more in love with the idea of marriage than the person that she was with. That's what she was mainly caught up on. I was so glad she came to that realization mm-hmm. now, rather than, you know, a year down the line when she's like continued to reminisce and try to figure out why it didn't work with him. Mm-hmm. He just was not the right guy.
Right.
So I think she was the, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Pepper, she was the only, oh no, Haley too. I was going to say Dr. Pepper, Paige was the only wife that Dr. Pepper met with, but she met with Haley as well. Mm. Mm-hmm. And so that was it for Dr. Pepper and Paige's conversation. But we also got to see Pastor Cal meet with Chris. And so we see Pastor Cal sitting there waiting. And then we get text popping up on the screen, which is the usual at this point for any scene involving Chris. We have mm-hmm. to get some sort of explanation about why we're seeing what we're seeing. And they said that Pastor Cal was supposed to meet with Chris at 7, and it is now 7:43. And so at this point, Pastor Cal's like, hey, talks to producers, he's like, do we wrap it up? And then mm-hmm. Chris walks in. What's the purpose for disrespecting Pastor Cal's time?
Yeah, he just, yeah, has no respect for the show. Yeah. Probably didn't want to come at all. And, you know, they held mm-hmm. the contract over his head or whatever. Like, you need to, like, wrap this up.
Yeah.
Didn't Paige say, too, like, she wants to see him on decision day? So,
yeah.
Do you think, is that going to happen? Did we see that preview?
We did see them sitting. I have seen a preview. I think it was at the point where they were like, for the rest of the season, this is your preview. I think it was on Instagram or something. Mm-hmm. And they did show them sitting on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was thinking, like, do they make it all the way to decision day? So I think he does come back.
Right.
But I mean, it's similar to, like, well, is it similar? It's similar to season 10 with Brandon. So Brandon had no respect for production, but I never felt he was super disrespectful to the experts.
Mm-hmm.
Unless maybe I'm remembering incorrectly, but I don't remember this.
Come, like, really late.
Mm-hmm. On decision day, right?
Yeah. He was, like, he wouldn't really answer the question. He was just seemed kind mm-hmm. of, like, aloof, maybe more.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would act, like, weird. Like, was it Dr. Viviana that was like, why are you smiling? Like, he was just act, like,
yeah.
kind of above right. it all.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy that these people sign up for these shows and then choose to act like this. It's like, you signed up for this. No one forced your hand. No one said, you have to sign up for this show or I'm going to beat you up. You know, mm-hmm. like, this was a decision you made. The least you can do, if you're not going to respect your spouse, the least you could do is respect the show. Because, of course, they're going to try to use the platform to do something. They're going to gain followers. They're going to reap certain, like, benefits, whether, you know, people view them as benefits or not. But people are now know who you are because you were on this show. And if you ever try to benefit from that, you're just a terrible person, especially after disrespecting the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say I haven't heard a peep from Brandon since he was on the show. So
yeah.
when he said he didn't, he was being honest. But I'm like, Chris knows that he's constantly, like, he's always putting out stuff on Facebook. Mm-hmm. He reactivated his Instagram. He's posting on there. It's like, okay, no. Mm-hmm. So with Pastor Cal and Chris, Chris said that he understands that they're like good on paper, but she's not the person. She's not the type of person that he would walk up to at a bar or at church. Like, he threw that in there just to like he's trying so hard to press home the fact that he wants people to see him as this like Christian man. And it's like, no matter, you can't just speak things into existence. Like, actions speak louder than words. We mm-hmm. see how you behave. We see what you're doing. We see that it's a front. So stop.
Right. Yeah, it's just going to, like, kind of like the meeting Mercedes thing, like going out of his way to hurt her just in what he's mm-hmm. saying about her, you know?
Yeah. Like, exactly. That he
didn't, like, basically wasn't attracted to her and like didn't like her face. I mean, that's really yeah. rude.
Exactly. So he's so blatant with Pastor Cal. He says he doesn't like her face. He just wasn't attracted to her face. He's like, there's so many black, white, and Hispanic queens in Atlanta, and I'm not picky. And Dr. Cal like looks at him like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
Like, you're not picky. He said it shouldn't be that hard to find somebody. And Pastor Cal basically tells him, like, look, it's at the point where this isn't working out. You've been engaged before, twice before. That didn't work out. It's time to take a look at you in relationships mm-hmm. and what you need to do to make a future relationship works. And Chris claims he did everything to the best of his ability in the situation. And Pastor Cal is like, okay, by like buying Mercedes a car. And Chris is like, well, you know, like I told Paige she could come with me. And it's like, at this point, I was just like, I had my hands in my head in my hands. I was just mm-hmm. like, why are you even giving this man a minute on this show?
Right.
Like, yeah. And so Pastor Cal ends it with saying, like, telling Chris that he owes Paige an apology. And Chris said he can't apologize to Paige for like providing for the mother of his child. So, yeah. That seems like that will be the last we see of Chris until decision day. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, I guess we'll have like one more podcast because next week is episode 15 and then episode 16, unless they do a separate week for the reunion. Mm. Not sure how they're doing it mm-hmm. this season. But yeah, we at least shouldn't see him on episode 15 and then maybe episode 16 is decision day.
Right.
So the last bit we get for this couple is like Paige goes home. She said it's disappointing that her marriage didn't work out and she packs up her apartment and moves out. Mm-hmm. Do you think she was staying there the whole time or was she like actually staying at her own her own place?
Right. That would be so lonely.
I know.
But I don't know. Maybe you're like, it's a change of scenery or something. Right. Yeah. I feel like she was like just almost to make a point. Like, I'm here every night. You know, I'm committed mm-hmm. to this process. Kind of like Mindy of Mindy yeah, and Zach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mindy was I couldn't get over how Mindy was just still so involved, and right. Zach was just the absolute worst. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's I guess kind of similar with Olivia and what was that guy's name? Olivia and Brett. Like Olivia, she made good friendships with like Imani mm-hmm. season 11 in New Orleans. So. Yeah, it's always the girls that stick around. It's never like the guys that make genuine friendships. There's like, I can be friends with whoever. I don't have to be friends with these guys.
Right.
So, yeah, that's it for Chris and Paige. I think it's clear to say that they are still a one. They have been a one since, I mean, ever since we've been podcasting. So, yeah. They never improved their relationship.
Never progressed.
Yeah, which is just sad. Like, how can you be just so off the mark? Like, mm-hmm. even Haley and Jacob for us have not been on one every week.
Right.
So I guess we could switch gears to be on a more positive note. So we can talk about Vinton and Brianna next.
Okay. Happier. Okay. Happier tone.
Right. So in episode 13, we did see that, like, we got one little scene of Brianna trying to wake Vinton up, and he's like, I need 3 more hours of sleep. And I didn't know that this was going to turn into such a talking point, but mm-hmm. I see why they showed it, because this does come up frequently in their conversations with Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. We got a scene about their expenses. So that was a very interesting conversation because they spend very differently. So, like, Brianna will spend like $350 on braids, which is very realistic. Mm-hmm. I do get my hair braided, and it does, depending on what you get, it could be $200 to $300.
Okay.
And so very reasonable.
Yeah.
And then she says like $405 on personal maintenance, like including waxing. And then she says she needs like $400 a month on clothes. That's where I was a little like, what?
Like, I was with you until.
I was with you. I understood until that. But I'm also someone that doesn't just like splurge on clothes. Like, I'm the type of person where like I'll buy something new if I have an event that's coming up that I need to buy something for. And mm-hmm. then that's just how I build up my wardrobe. And I just go out and just like buy stuff. Mm-hmm. But is that reasonable by at all? I guess maybe the quality of clothes.
Yeah, it seems especially unreasonable, like during the pandemic, where you're like, we're just wearing loungewear.
Yes.
Like, invest in like a matching sweatsuit. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you're done.
Yes, exactly.
So, but I think we see like she, you know, they like to say bossy, but I think it's maybe more like she is really set in her ways and doesn't want like mm-hmm. compromise is not in her vocabulary. Yeah,
right. Compromise for her is like him doing a little bit less of what he's doing that she doesn't like.
Yeah. It's like waiting until I break you down and you understand to see it from my point of view.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, for the clothes, they compromise at like $250. And then like Vincent wants like $200. Well, okay, so they're trying to compromise on the amount of money for entertainment. And Vincent is like, okay, we could do like $200 a month on entertainment. She's like, what? That's one dinner. Mm-hmm. Speaking of like dates. And so they end up, after everything, after considering all of their expenses, they end up at $9,000 a month.
Like, whoa. It's stressing me out.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're definitely going to have to work some things out there.
Yep.
Especially if they, I mean, in my eyes, I feel like there's no way they don't stay married on decision day. So, of course, this is going to be something that they would realistically have to deal with. Like, if this was Haley and Jacob, like, don't worry about it. Why are y'all talking about expenses? Mm-hmm. That doesn't need to be a concern of y'all.
Right.
So then we had their meetings with Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper. So Pastor Cal met with Vincent mm-hmm. and he's gushing about how much he cares about her. Pastor Cal compliments how he looks and he's like, yeah, Brianna got me these shoes. Or he's like, my wife got me these shoes. They've been having fun together. And he brings up their only challenge so far is communication and that she's like assertive and she can be narrow-minded about some things. Mm-hmm. And he also acknowledges that his attention span isn't that great. So that interferes with their communication. And the main thing he brings up is that she gets up super early. And he's like, is it wrong for me? He asked Pastor Kyle, like, is it wrong for me to want more rest? Like I do. I drive all day, then I'm tired. And then she wants me to get up early. He's like, I feel bad for sleeping in. And Pastor Kyle's like, you shouldn't feel bad for what you feel like you need. So he kind of walks away from that. It's like, OK, we need to address our sleeping habits and what's a good compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if he is up, well, okay, if he's up late and she wants to get up early, it's like one person has to, like, what, how is that, how can they compromise? Because I feel like they both would have to, or one person has to give more a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally relate to him on this. Like, I like to sleep in. And I like to stay up late. I think people just have different internal clocks. And you know, us night owls get a bad rap. You know? Like, we're lazy because you sleep in, stay up late, and you shouldn't stay up late. But I think, like, that's his unwinding time. And so she was kind of judging for, like, wow, but then you're on your phone, you're doing this at the end of the night, and that's going to keep you up. And so I think she just wants more of the quality time together. And, but it didn't seem like she was like, okay, like, I'll stay up late with you sometimes and we'll do this. It was just like,
what
if you put your phone down and you do this? And it's just a little bit too much of a radical shift, I think, to make, to try to change someone's whole sort of way they operate their schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's tough, because I think, because if she likes to get up early, then she, maybe, I don't know, it's because then what is it, him saying, okay, maybe you sleep in a little longer, and then she,
I think it should be more like, okay, like, what's something that you can do in the morning that you like to do without me, you know, like, you can have your me time, or, you know, go take Cookie for a walk and, like, kind of have that quality time, that, so we don't have to do everything together.
Very true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, she can do her personal shopping.
Yeah. Go, like, go pick up at your secret Amazon, like, pick up location. Head to the boutique that opens early. Put the bags away before he even sees anything.
Exactly. And then she won't ever complain. Yeah. Buy more shoes.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So Dr. Pepper met with Brianna. And I guess Dr. Pepper met with three wives. I don't know why I thought at that point it was only Paige. So Dr. Pepper met with Brianna, and she said that Vincent always brings her, he's always positive, so he always brings her back to the positive side of things, and she didn't think that he'd be this special. And she also points out that their challenges are their communication styles, and Brianna wonders about the financial stability, and she says she likes to enjoy her money and he likes to budget for the future. And I'm similar to her. Like, I'm like, I work hard for the money that I make, so I want to spend it however I want. You know, I'm like, at some point, like, when I get settled down, I'm sure I'll have to make a compromise there. But for now, if my dog Pepper needs a nice new bed, I'm going to buy that, even though she already has like three beds. So.
Right. I splurge on dog beds, too.
Yes.
It's pretty comfortable.
Yes, exactly.
I just remember, so, like, my growing up, my parents and, you know, my family dog was a black lab, but it was kind of more like, kind of just relegated to the basement more. He shed a lot. And it was just sort of like, I don't know, my family just sort of didn't like having dogs like totally part of the family. Like, he was part of the family, but it was like he had his face kind of thing. And it wasn't until he was like maybe 10 or something that I got him a bed, like an actual like cushy bed instead of just like sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
And like, I think he had like a cheapy dog bed, you know, but or like old pillows or something. But like, I got him one of those like ones with like, looked like a mini couch kind of. It was flat on the floor, but it had like a bolster around the back. And he was so appreciative. Like, he just stayed in it all day. And I was like, okay, never again. Like, I'm always going to like get like something that it was sort of like a big realization moment. Like, yeah, of course they want to be comfortable too.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have people that are like, let dogs be dogs. They like the floor. I'm like, no, I think it's so funny. Like, my dog, she prefers to sleep like, or take a nap on the couch or on one of her comfy beds. Like, they love that.
Let's see.
Oh, another thing they brought up in this Dr. Pepper and Brianna situation that we hadn't, or their conversation that we hadn't really touched on at all, was that, okay, so he wants children sooner than her. Like, he's thinking 1 to 2 years. She's thinking 2 to 3. And she, her, one of her biggest fears is carrying a child because she says she has high blood pressure. So that scares her, like the complications that could come with carrying a child when she has blood pressure issues.
I think we should have like learned about this earlier, like in part of like being masked or felt like.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it would have prevented like them from being matched.
No.
But it's very important to know up front, because it may feel to Vincent like they've already said they love each other, you know, like. Mm-hmm. It could be where he's thinking, why is this the first time you're talking to me about it? Like, this is this is important to talk through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to get a sense too. Like, it didn't seem like she was really against getting pregnant. She was just fearful of it, or it didn't seem like she was saying like, I want to adopt instead.
Right.
But I feel like if that's what she felt, then maybe that should have been something in like the matching, like, are you open to adoption, or, you know, like that.
Those different kind of
questions.
Right. Right. Very true. So they do touch on it again when Dr. Pepper comes to visit in episode 14. So we'll get into that in a sec. But they do debrief on this episode about their talk, and Brianna asked him his about his views, like, what are his views on the value of a dollar because they spend differently. And Vincent says, you know, he's just not interested in spending his money how she does anymore because they're married.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was that gave me a little reminder of Eric. I feel like that's something he would say.
Right.
I was kind of, I wasn't expecting to hear that from Vincent. And then Vincent asked her about like sleeping in, and, you know, she said that getting up early allows her to be more productive. And so she wants him to be up with her. And she thinks that they should go to sleep earlier so they can wake up earlier. And he asked for a compromise, and she was like, well, we can go to sleep earlier and then wake up earlier. And it's like, okay, that's not a compromise. And then Brianna did bring up like her having high blood pressure and the dangers of having kids. And so I could tell it kind of caught Vincent off guard, but I think he's still learning how to properly communicate his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was glad that he just kind of took a moment to just soak it in and kind of really sit on it to see how he felt.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, rather than like storming out of the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's super understanding.
Mm-hmm. Like,
they're just in such a good place that it almost feels like we're reaching for things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we get to episode 14, and they had at the beginning, Brianna cooked for Vincent, and she says Chef Boyarbrie. that was cute. So for their personal experience, she took him tap dancing, And so she says she did a lot of it growing up in middle school, high school, and like Vincent was making fun of her a little bit for it. And she said the only reason she didn't pursue it because she realized she couldn't make money from it. And, you know, she's an engineer, so she makes plenty of money.
Yeah.
But then they had a really good conversation about just like her growing up. And she said, you know, she had an issue with like dark skin, like being dark skin, because people always had that possession of perception of dark skin versus light skinned in the Black community. So like colorism is like a real thing. And she didn't feel until she was 16 that she was beautiful. So she wants to pass that on to her children of like loving yourself and kind of using her experience growing up to teach them how to love themselves at like an earlier age. And so I thought that was a really good conversation for her to open up to him. And but then she ended it with like, yeah, but you know, that'll be a long time from now. Mm-hmm. And Vincent's like, a long time from now? And his whole demeanor changed. Like, oh gosh. But you know, who's to say they don't stay together and then, you know, it happens like a year from now just because they're in a good place. Like, I think that's not enough to be angry about or cause a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it's Virginia and Eric, it's only a fight because there's so much other stuff they have to fight about.
Yeah.
And so the fact that this is like their only thing that they kind of have to work through, that's okay.
Yeah.
They share a glass of champagne. Dr. Pepper arrives for her visit to kind of follow up on those unanswered questions. And they talk about the sleeping habits. And Brianna talks about how she wants him to get up earlier. And Vincent's like, that's not a compromise.
Right.
He's like, I don't want you to think I'm lazy just because I'm sleeping in. And then Dr. Pepper points out that Vincent is feeling judged because he said he doesn't want her thinking he's lazy. And so that all falls back to how he just wants to look good in front of her, which is, it just shows how much he cares about her. He cares about what she thinks about him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care. He'd sleep in without a care in the world and would never bring it up because he's doing his own thing. So then they also talk about like Brianna physically giving birth and, you know, it is a huge fear and What are they doing about it? And Vincent says like they're gonna just do a lot more research about it. And Dr. Pepper was like, well, what would happen if she can't have kids and y'all have to adopt? And Vincent was like, well, that has never crossed my mind. So I'd have to think about it. And then for Vincent's personal experience, they went to a bodega, a Dominican bodega, and got food, and Vincent was in his element. He was speaking Spanish, and he was talking about how he grew up with his aunt without a father figure. And that's like, that's kind of where that comes from, of him really wanting to be a father because he wants to be what he didn't have. And he just talks about like growing up or what life is like in the Dominican Republic and how there's no middle class. You're either poor or you're really wealthy. And so that was interesting to hear about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad, like, travel is, you know, what it is right now, because I think they even went to the Dominican Republic for one of the honeymoons one time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was really cool to see him in his element and just such a stark contrast to some of these other couples where it's like they would have no interest in even learning about another person.
Exactly.
And their background. So, like, they're just at a different level of, like, okay, they already connect so well that now it's like just natural, like what you would be doing if you were dating somebody to like get to know them better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's it. That's all we got from them from these two episodes. Where would you rate them?
I think they're still out of five. I mean, their problems are so like trivial. You know, it's funny because we heard Virginia say something like, well, we don't fight about the small things, only big things. It's like, that's not a good thing. Like, this is the opposite with Brianna and Vincent. It's like, they just fight about little small things. I mean, I know pregnancy is not a small thing, but I think it's being blown out of proportion a little bit with the show's editing, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, okay, no couple is perfect. They're dealing with real situations that couples will go through. Like, not everything is going to be on such a positive note. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's realistic, but they are also just in a good place.
Right.
So good. We have them at a 5, and I don't think we've ever had them at not a 5. Every week we've given them a 5. We went from the absolute worst to the absolute best. Okay, perfect. So we had them at a 5. So what do you think about going to Ryan and Clara next?
Yeah.
This is the most repetitive couple. I feel like I didn't learn anything new about these two. Mm-mm. And I feel it's so weird too, because when you watch a show, you get to know people. You know what the show is editing for you. Mm-hmm. So you know them up to a certain point to be able to describe them. Ryan is still the biggest mystery to me. I feel like, right, I know Jacob better than I know Ryan.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, because Jacob has all these quirks and we get, like, he'll let you know about them. So.
Mm-hmm. He's just a man of such few words. Mm-hmm. Ryan, yeah.
Every time, like, Clara says something, they cut to him and I thought it was editing, but maybe he really just doesn't respond.
Yeah, I feel like if he was saying anything, I feel like they would show a sentence or two.
Right.
Because then they're at least getting like dialogue from him. Mm-hmm. It's not always sure. Yep. Sure. Sure.
I can just picture him on a conference call, like with his job. Like,
oh, yes. Oh,
sure. Yeah.
He's the guy that comes off mute just to say, sure. Oh gosh. So in episode 13, Ryan met with Dr. Pepper and she asked about challenges, and Ryan says, I can't think of a challenge off the top of my head. Like, really, Ryan?
Yeah. It's all perfect in his world.
Yeah, it's like, what world are you living in?
You know, he wouldn't change anything to his younger self, so right. Just, everything's great.
Yeah, just roses and sunshine. Uh-huh. Just beautiful. They're the model couple. So, you know, Dr. Pepper said no human is perfect, so no relationship can be. It's like that's
what I like about
right
Dr.
there.
Pepper is like, she will not let you get away with those kind of statements. Like,
yes.
And it's like, she's got the notes. She's coming in like knowing that they have to bring up certain things. So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. They always want to look on their best behavior. It's like they aren't using these experts how they should be.
Yeah.
They want to just look good. And it's like, the cameras are following you these other times. Right. So what's the point?
Exactly. Like, they treat the expert this season. They treat the experts like they're just like one of the hosts of the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the reunion and we're just talking about an update. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're sitting on the couch with like a Bachelor host. Let's say Emmanuel Acho. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting on the couch. They're just talking to him. And it's like, no, these people are actually here to help you. They're actually here to give you advice. They're here to make your relationship better. Where... Maybe that was lost in translation with all of the COVID prepping they did. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they just don't understand.
Yeah, they don't get that. Like, you're not going to get one over on them. So,
yeah.
We're seeing more than just this conversation.
Exactly. So Dr. Pepper asked about spirituality because obviously she's been caught up. So she's like, I'm going to ask direct issues. And she said, since like Clara doesn't go to church, and Ryan said, yeah, we'll need to have a conversation.
Right.
He basically hasn't thought about it or they haven't addressed it. I'm like, I just don't know what types of conversations they're having off camera.
Right.
If any. And then Dr. Pepper asked about waiting for intercourse and how Clara feels about it. I was glad she said it that way rather than, how do you feel about waiting for intercourse? Because that's not the issue. Mm-hmm. The issue is how Clara feels and how, you know, he's not on this. He doesn't fully understand how she feels about it. Like they right. have. It's as if, I don't know what understanding he has. I mean, it's in the past episodes, it seemed like he was just like, oh, she's obsessed with this. Mm-hmm. I want to wait.
Right.
And his response to her was, Oh, well, yeah. I should ask her and do a deeper dive in.
Yep. It's always these like surface answers. We don't get anything. And mm-hmm. But it was weird to me when like Clara was in the conversation and she was just kind of like, oh, I want to respect him. It was like she didn't even like kind of own up to what she had said before.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't even just blame him mm-hmm. because she withhold how she truly feels about things. So even if a question comes up, she's not going to divulge all of her feelings or her true feelings about things. She mm-hmm. just gives an answer that feels good for him.
Yeah.
That's not rocking the boat too much, but it's okay for that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So Pastor Cal met with Clara and Clara said her main surprise is how well it's going. And, she says she's waiting for him to say he loves her because she doesn't want to go down that rabbit hole by herself. And mm-hmm. she does admit that she does love him, but she doesn't want to reveal it to him. The only other thing we learned from this conversation was that Clara said Ryan has dated women in the past and gone months when even years without having sex with them. So those are their two issues, is love and not having sex. And those are their two issues. I mean, obviously communication, but mm-hmm. but they don't even get into that much. But the two issues that continue to come up are those two issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do they overcome it if they're like, Ryan's stance is, I've never said I love you, so I want to be sure. And I want to wait on sex until like we are more comfortable with each other. Right. Like where does Clara go from there?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like you sort of do have to cater to the person that has the more restrictions in place. You know, you can't mm-hmm. force them to be comfortable with it if they're not. But mm-hmm. I just wish he would at least be a little more transparent about it. It's like the fact that he can't even talk about it, I don't think he should have been cast. If, you know, I think in casting, they should be able to weed out like if someone's comfortable talking about it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's not willing to say like, you know, I just think like we won't be ready until after decision day, or I don't have a timeline, but like I'm not comfortable in the cameras talking about it. I don't know. I think mm-hmm. even if he was saying something like that or just giving her a little reassurance, he just has kind of flippant answers to her. And I don't see, like, I see like a friendship connection with them a lot. Like, I think they have a lot of, you know, a good banter and they get along yeah. on that like hanging out level. They probably like watching some of the same things and mm-hmm. listening to the same music, but it doesn't seem like, you know, and we see them like being affectionate with each other, like sitting close together, arms around each other and that kind of thing. But it doesn't seem like he's like taking it to a deeper level, even just communication wise.
Right, exactly. And if they can't talk about these things, like, they're never going to get there. And, like, it's not just going to happen one day and Claire's like, oh my gosh, yes, we consummated our marriage last night and now things are great. Like, we communicate, like, he tells me how he feels. Like,
right.
It's not going to happen. So I think she needs to kind of table the sex and the love
mm-hmm.
and really bring to the forefront their issue with communication. I know we only have a couple weeks left of mm-hmm. the 8 weeks, so that may be tough, especially seeing the preview for next week.
Yeah.
Like for episode 15. It makes me nervous for them.
Well, another thing that bothers me is when she'll say something like, I know the more I push them, like that makes you restrict more. Like that seems like a mm-hmm. game to me, like playing games.
Yes.
I don't like that, where it's like, she can't even feel comfortable bringing it up because it's like, that's going to make him wait another week. It's like, that's mm-hmm. should be how it works. If he has like a timeline in mind or like a certain like level that he wants, like a point he wants to reach in the relationship, then he should give her the kind of those like parameters that he's thinking of. Or
exactly.
If he feels like, you know, the fact that you like haven't had that emotional connection, I don't want to jump in it to to it too soon. And the fact that you fall in love easily, I don't want to, you know, if he had some sort of like reason he could give her that would make sense. Like, like I want us to slow down for both of us because of like, we come from different, you know, totally different experiences.
Yeah.
You know, cause that could be a natural concern. Like, well, if you fall in love with everyone, how do I know that that's like a real feeling you're having? So.
Right. Exactly.
But the fact that it's just like, he just sort of like nods and says, yeah, sure. You know, like he doesn't elaborate on anything to explain to her why. That I would be frustrated like her, like not just like how she's just like sexually frustrated, but just like frustrated with how he's not giving her anything communication wise.
Yep. Exactly. Sure. Sure. Yeah. It's, I don't see how she's not even more frustrated with just, it's like, I would love to see what she's like in a relationship if it was someone else who communicated more. Like, not necessarily Eric, because there are just issues on his own that Eric has that he projects in his relationship. But, you know, he is someone that does over communicate things that he's feeling. So it's like, you know, I feel like it, at this point, it's almost changing who Ryan is to get to the point of being in like a successful marriage. I don't know. So they do get back. They go back to their apartment, and this is like one of the many couch scenes. Like, I feel like we've seen so many of these couples have a conversation on a couch, on their couch. And I know a lot of it's because of the pandemic, but it's funny because it's very, we need you to sit on this couch and have this conversation about this subject.
Yeah.
So Ryan phrases, so this is the point where they like, they're supposed to ask their unanswered questions, and Ryan phrases it like, hey, like we talked about religion. So like, where do you stand with that and family? I'm like, you've already talked about that when y'all were at the, was it an aquarium? Like you touched on it there. So if you ask it that way, you're only going to get a surface level answer. It wasn't like, for me, it wasn't him expressing how he feels and how is it going to work for them realistically. It was, it was just the worst way to ask it. Clara was, I mean, she said she doesn't want to force church on her kids, and Ryan doesn't respond. And and that's where we are. It was like, he's just like nods his head and like, what? No, that's not, this isn't just an ask and answer session. Like, dialogue needs to be had because clearly this is important to you. Like, I think he even had on a shirt that said, like, saved by grace. Like, when they were talking, and he's in his confessional talking about, I'm like, Ryan, you need to communicate how you feel about this. Because if y'all stay married, it's just going to, you're going to continue to beat around the bush. And then, I mean, on the next episode, when he talks to her mom, and he's like, oh, well, maybe, you know, she'll end up like her mom, because her mom didn't start going to church until she had Clara. And so I'm like, okay, now you're going to hang on to this hope without ever communicating it? I'm so confused.
Now there's kind of like a massive fight, like 5 years down the road, when it's like, well, weren't you supposed to magically start going to church now that we've had this kid?
Exactly. I think he's just, it's just like he's holding out hope because he thinks they're so, in such a good place, and he thinks their relationship is so great. Maybe that's why he's scared to communicate these issues, because then he's faced with the reality that they're not perfect. So then he asked her about her feelings about her feelings about his feelings about sex. And so, like Ryan said, like, he doesn't want it to be a checkbox. He wants it to be meaningful and special to them. And Clara asks, is it happening soon? And he says, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just like, give us a little more. Give her a little more than that. Like,
right.
Show some empathy to how she's feeling about it.
Right. Like, I still feel like he walked away from that not having a clear understanding of how important it is for her in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand. I mean, I do understand because they're not communicating.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand how it's not weighing on them heavier day to day. Like, mm-hmm. what are they doing? Are they just like I'm like in their relationship, the lack of communication? I'm like, what do you do day to day? Are y'all just talking about the weather? Like, or like you said, maybe they're just watching shows together around the clock because they just don't talk about anything.
Yeah.
It's the most surface level conversation. I'm like, Ryan, do you truly know Clara at this point? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're starting to frustrate me.
Yeah, for sure.
In episode 14, Ryan did go meet with Clara's mom. Because he said it's very important to have a relationship with in-laws. And he said that, like, growing up, he was the type of kid that cried if he struck out in, like, t-ball game. Mm-hmm. He asked her mom for advice, and her mom was like, just patience. And Ryan does confirm to her that he wants kids, and his main thing is raising kids in the church. And then that's when we find out that her mom started going to church when she had Clara. And so Ryan's like, yeah, maybe she'll be like her mom. No, that's just hanging on to hope. And I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you should listen to what Clara said to you directly instead of what her right. mom thinks could maybe happen.
Exactly. They also visit Clara's parents' house, and her parents had changed her room to a gym. And so, like, Ryan got a kick out of that. We find out that she had burned a copy of the Usher's Confessions album when she was younger. Her mom said it was inappropriate. She also couldn't be on MySpace. She couldn't have her name and her picture on MySpace. And that she said her mom wanted her to be unanimous. And mom was like, well, don't you mean anonymous? So, I mean, that was nice. Yeah. I mean, it just showed. Well, I guess mainly him meeting with her mom to me showed a level of effort that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Clara meet with, like, his parents or, like, maybe his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's happening and they just don't have the time to show it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think COVID too is like, this wasn't the typical kind of thing we would normally see where they're meeting with random family members and not like a whole gathering.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Let's see. Dr. Pepper came over to visit their apartment. And they talked about the unanswered questions and withholding sex. And Clara says that she got what she asked for. She said she always started relationships physically and she needed a guy that was going to want that right away. And she was like, be careful what you ask for. And I feel like if that were like Vincent and he heard, be careful what you ask for, he would have asked her, what do you mean by that? Like, mm-hmm. that sounds kind of negative.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan just looks at her, nods, and it goes in one ear and out the other. It's like you said, he's so aloof. He's not there.
Yeah. And I think he almost just like, I think I said this last week, but he almost keeps it like a point of pride, kind of like, yeah, I've never said the L word, like, never said it. Like, yep. Almost like, yeah, careful what you ask for. Like, yep, I'm different.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. So they also talk about saying, I love you. And Ryan said he just doesn't want to force it. And he talks about, like, if he starts to say it, he doesn't want it to lose its meaning. And Dr. Pepper brought up a good point. She's like, I say I love you to my family members every time I get off the phone with them, because I want that to be the last thing that I said to them in case anything crazy happens. And Ryan's like, me too. So it's like, well, you just don't see Clara as up there on someone that you would want to express those feelings to.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, that's a bigger issue because she's your wife.
Yeah.
unless he like just throws a curveball and like on decision day says like no, and we had no idea.
Right.
I could see that though, because he just would have never expressed how, if he was feeling a certain type of way, and like brings up all these things and just never brought it up in a confessional. I don't know.
Yeah.
We do get this little activity that only two of the couples did. It was only...
Right.
Yeah, I was like, why throw this in there if you're not going to show all four couples doing it?
I have some words about this activity too.
So they write a letter to the younger self. Clara does, she feels a little bit awkward since Dr. Pepper's visit. Like she said, she feels she's in love with him and she doesn't want to say it to him. So Clara's letter was very personal. She said, you know, let those around you know that you love them. You're strong, you're important, and you're more loved than you ever know. It was a good letter. And he said nothing in response. She finished it. He looked at her and it was like, okay, here's my letter. He's like, I wouldn't change a thing. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't be so focused on the future and not focused on what's happening today. And then Claire's like, well, these are good things to keep in mind.
I don't know what I was expecting, but definitely not that.
Right.
I just think this activity, if the point has to be to make the wives mad. Because even Bennett and Amelia like this annoyed her. Like, and he is really creative. He's was a playwright. Like, he could have written something, but he was like, you should not give away that Pokemon card that you had, because now it would be worth whatever. You know, like that was his letter to himself. Because, yeah, if you don't have any guidelines going in, if the expert's not saying, write a letter to your past self, in it you should mention, talk about, you know, how you hope to be like a partner and what you're like, how to prepare for marriage or something. Like, it has to be some context for it, because you could just write any random thing. Give them some writing prompts or something, because the guys are never going to go deep with this. They're just going to be like, yeah, like, you should have stayed on the football team. Right. And the wives are always like some like lovey-dovey thing. And even talking about like, one day you're going to marry an amazing man, or, you know, they always have something that relates back, and the guys never do. And never. So I think it's just to create, maybe everybody did it and, you know, Vincent and Brianna had like a lovey-dovey moment, but Ryan even like had that great letter to her before they got married. So the fact that he just checked out on this, it's like, no, you're better than that. You know how to write.
Exactly. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense why they decide to do it. Like, I don't see they just need to, for guys, what it is appearing like, they need to be more specific. Mm-hmm. It's not like write a letter to your younger self. It's like they need to ask more pointed questions, and then you answer those. Don't give them the creative freedom, because like, yeah, they're gonna take like Bennett's approach or like Jacob's approach and just bada boom bada bing. Yeah. The girls are really reflecting. They're like using this as their time to journal, you know.
Yeah. The guys are just sitting there while the wives keep on writing.
Yeah. So like you said, it has to be just to make the wives mad. Mm-hmm. But that's all we got from Ryan and Clara. And then on the next time on, like, the couples are going on a coastal retreat together, all four couples, and you just see Ryan and Clara continuing to have the same issue. He won't say he loves her. She doesn't know when they're going to have sex. And it just, there was just constant tension in every scene that they showed on the preview. So it, for me, it's like, okay, when this was an issue episodes ago, okay, communicate, get on the same page. Then it seemed like there was a way out of this. But now that we are on episode 14 and this continues to be your issue, I don't know if there's a way out of this.
Mm-hmm. No. I don't know. Unless they're like going to be like a Karen and Miles where like they thrive after the cameras are gone.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ryan is not great with the cameras, but he does seem like he has a personality. So it almost seems like his personality is a little bit stunted by the cameras being present.
Yeah. 'Cause
I would imagine he's not this dull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe they do. But that's if Clara wants to give it a chance.
Right.
I know I said like he could throw a curveball earlier, but I really think it's going to come down to her saying yes or no.
Yeah.
I don't know. So where would you rate them?
It's tricky because I think they will stay together. Because again, Ryan, like you said, is the perfect husband. 99%. He's in the top 99%. He's in the top 1%, I guess. So I think they're 3.5. I'll go 3.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go 3 too, only because it seems like with him being so delusional about how great they are, it also does seem like if she's not thinking about sex and love, she's also a little bit too, because she's like, he's better than I would have imagined. He's great. Like what she was telling Dr. Cal. So, or Pastor Cal. So it could be a situation where she's thinking like, you know, everything outside of these two things are wonderful. So maybe if we give him more time, then it'll work.
Right.
So yeah, I give him a 3.2. So we're at a solid 3. Mm-hmm. We were doing like a Married at First Sight stock watch.
Yeah.
so cheap. let's see. So our last two couples, we have Haley and Jacob and Eric and Virginia. Which one do you want to do next?
Let's do Eric and Virginia.
All right.
Save the intense bracelet conversation to the end. That's what everyone came here for, right?
Right. the juicy
bracelet
stuff.
Gate.
Yes, bracelet gate. We didn't even know that was a thing until then, which is just crazy.
I mean, all this footage they could have showed us.
Yes, exactly. They were saving it for episode 14.
I thought I was going
14.
Crazy. I'm like, did we see this? Or
I'm like, the one season I take notes on every episode, I was like, I know I would have heard if they talked about
this.
But hey, if you're listening, gotta wait till the next couple to hear what we're talking about. So Eric and Virginia. These two. So episode 13, we do see continued Rocky drama. So Rocky starts like whining, and Eric says that Virginia doesn't help the situation because she was like comforting him or something. And so he continues to be annoyed. Nothing has improved there. Jennifer, Virginia's sister, and her son come to visit Virginia at their apartment, and they come to visit Eric and Virginia at their apartment, and like Eric says, like the day to day they get along, and Virginia said like they have some disagreements like about the living situation, but you know, otherwise are good. And Eric expected like that the next step would be buying a house, not renting. And that was something that Virginia told Jennifer when like Eric took her sons out to walk. So she got to talk to just her sister one-on-one, and she was like, yeah, he thought he'd be buying a house by now. But Jennifer joked and she was like, yeah, he also didn't expect to be married this way either. So like, you know, plans change. Mm-hmm. and then Jennifer asked like, could she trust him with her kids right now? And Virginia was like, well, I haven't really seen him with kids. That's right. Not a good thing to say.
I love the dramatic pause.
Like, yeah. And then she said that he has been more controlling than she would like. Mm-hmm. That's the understatement of the century. I'm like, you hate the level of control that he tries to have.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a, like, a flowery way to put it. But we do get Pastor Cal and Virginia meeting together. She said they have a big difference when it comes to kids, and how he says, like, if she doesn't want them, he's done. She also, like Brianna, has a fear of being pregnant, and then also being a bad mom because of how she grew up. Like, she grew up, she talked about, like, growing up and, like, her dad or her growing up and knowing things, and then later in life, her dad not realizing she knew the things she or remembered the things that she went through when she was younger. And she's like, I don't want that to happen to my kids. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Kyle had such a good point. He's like, the fact that you are actively thinking about that and you're conscious of that shows that you're already in a better place.
Right.
Of being prepared for, like, motherhood. Mm-hmm. And she said, like, she doesn't like that he says things like, oh, well, I will be done if this or that. Because she says marriage is no matter what. And Pastor Kyle's like, well, you have to tell him that.
Right.
Because he loves to say that. I'm done.
Oh, yeah. I feel like he's trying to think of new things to say lately. That won't work for me.
It just won't work. I'm out. I'm not going to stick around much longer. No big realizations from that outside of, like, that was a good perspective Pastor Cal had on, like, her being a mom. Mm-hmm. But you can tell, like, the way she talks about it, like, that does truly scare her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it did seem like Pastor Cal was pushing it a little bit. Like, it seemed like he was on the motherhood. Like, he was a little bit Eric's agenda there. Like, he was on the side of, like, you should be a mom. Yeah. And if she genuinely doesn't want to, I don't think she should.
Right.
But if she's truly 50-50 and that's, like, what's holding her back, then, you know.
Yeah. It seemed like she was trying to paint the picture that, like, her main reason is being fearful because of her experience. But, yeah, if it's truly, like, she doesn't want kids, then that's definitely something she should tell him. Mm-hmm. Because he's at the point of thinking he can, like, persuade her.
Right.
So they just another couple who does not understand the concept of communication. Mm-hmm. In a completely different way, though. Mm-hmm. than Claire and Ryan.
Right.
So we had Dr. Pepper and Eric meet, and I did like this sit down. So Eric, of course, instant connection from the beginning. Like, he loves to remind us every episode. And then they get into, like, the dog issue, and he said, like, Virginia is set on Rocky being her dog. And Dr. Pepper was like, well, why do you have to be Rocky's dad? And she said, like, he was in, you know, he explained thinking, like, okay, well, I'm in his life now. And Dr. Pepper is like, well, think about a child from a previous marriage. You're saying that you should have equal, like, if you came in and she had a child from a previous marriage, you would not have equal placement in that child's life. Mm-hmm. As Virginia.
I love how she, Eric, like, raised the, you know, like, dogs are our kids, you know, like, I like how she, like, gave Rocky that upgrade there.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, yes, I literally said some type of variation of that last podcast.
Yeah, like, I never really put it, like, thought of it that way too. Like, but it is really true. It's like, it is jarring to have someone come in and, like, deal with an, like, it's not their animal, but, you know, it's not, but they're, like, you want them to be, like, part of the family. But yeah, why does he have to come in and be, like, on the equal level with her then?
Exactly. And he said he never saw it from that view. I'm like, of course, Eric, you haven't tried to. Mm-hmm. And then he does bring up that she's almost too independent for him. If she wants to go do things with her friends on the weekend, she's going to do it whether he goes or he doesn't go. And, like Dr. Pepper said, like, find some compromise. Just, like, pick a weekend and say that's your weekend, and y'all devote that weekend to spend with each other instead of her going out and stuff. And she also brings up that you can't have productive conversations when there's alcohol in your system. So they did talk about how like a majority of their arguments have been like after she's gone out or after they've both gone out and come back and he's mad about something. So mm-hmm. it's like, yes, way to point out the obvious, but Eric needed to hear this.
Right.
So yeah, anything else that you got out of their interaction?
I did think Dr. Pepper was a little harsh on like harsh or judgy on Victoria or Virginia's drinking. Where like, do you think that's okay for your wife? You know, like it seemed like it gave Eric a little too much to run with. Like that's just what he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And I think it's up to, you know, everybody is different. And I think, you know, Virginia, I don't know that she has a problem or not, you know, but it made it seem like they're making that decision about her.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's definitely nothing wrong with having your casual glass. I'm part of a wine club. So, nice. You know, like I drink regular glasses of wine or different types of cider, depending on the day, depending, you know, I love a good cider.
Yes.
But, you know, if it's like tequila, if it's hard liquor every night, then it's like, okay, then that's a conversation. But you do see Virginia drinking wine during the week. And so like that seems fine. It's just it's all about balance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What it comes down to. So we do get their debrief and Virginia asked him how his day was. And she said hers was not awful, but it wasn't great. And Eric said the same. And Eric brought up how Dr. Pepper said he needs to let go of the Rocky situation. And Virginia was very happy about that.
Like, has that a double meaning, Rocky situation.
Yeah.
Exactly. A little bit rocky in their relationship right now.
Right, exactly. And Eric talked about how drinking was a problem in their arguments. And Virginia said she's not talking about that. I was like, was she cutting him off from that conversation?
Yeah, I think so.
It was like, okay, you're done with it. Maybe it is a bigger issue. She doesn't want to address it.
I think all these couples have conversations off camera where like we're not talking about this on camera and it really ruins the show. Like,
yes,
we need live feeds for our network site. Like, at least threaten them with it. Like just install those cameras, be like, everything's, you know, you never know like what could happen. Like
exactly. And so then Virginia said they talked about her fear with kids. And about how he gives ultimatums. And Eric didn't like the word ultimatum. He preferred deal breaker. Like, there he
just
goes.
Semantics. Again. Like,
yes.
He gets so, like, I'm sure that this was probably something his ex had said to him or something. Because it's like, he has these triggers where he's like, I don't like that word. Like, that's not what it is. But it totally is. And he just won't admit it. And it is gaslighting because he's trying to make it seem softer than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, don't say that. But
right. Yeah, that's too big of a word.
Yeah.
More of like a light little deal breaker.
It's not a lie. It's a untruth.
Right. It's like Pauly Califiori on X on the Beach. Mm-hmm. He said it wasn't cheating. It was just overlap.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's him saying this is like him totally missing the meaning mm-hmm. of what is being conveyed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're missing the point.
Just getting defensive and not listening to what the real issue is.
Exactly. So Virginia said, like, what if I can't have kids? And he was like, well, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm by your side. We'll tackle that when we get there. And he goes on about how she's so good with kids and she starts crying and she said it's nice to hear, but she still doesn't fully agree. And then Eric brings up how like they should take a weekend for themselves. And she said, yeah, I'm totally fine if we plan it. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, He doesn't leave it there. He never does. He doubles back and he's like, you need to know that you need to cancel things for me, like for your husband.
Right.
But you should be able to tell your friends that you have plans with your husband. It's like, oh my God. He wants to get a certain reaction out of her so right. that she knows he means business or that he's putting his foot down.
Mm-hmm.
It's so annoying.
I know. Imagine if Eric and Brianna were a match. Like, neither of them can compromise.
Yeah, exactly.
It just got nowhere unless they were in agreement on something.
Mm-hmm. So they episode 14, for Eric's personal experience, they go to Eric's parents' home and Eric shows her these like patches he got for like being a pilot, and she compared it to like Girl Scout patches.
Mm-hmm.
and then he showed her pictures of like him playing in Little League, and he said like he mentioned how his parents took him to tournaments and how he hopes to do that one day, and Virginia started like tearing up. Because she's like, she tells us that like, or no, she tells him too that like he hasn't met half of her family members and he doesn't even have their phone numbers and he hasn't. And for her, it seems like a lack of effort because that is very important for her. I mean, it should be important in every relationship. And Eric never really realized up to that point that he hadn't been investing his time with like family members.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if they've only been together 6 weeks, like, would you be calling, like, I guess, you know, they are married, but they should at least meet. But I don't know if he needs their phone number and have, like, a texting relationship with them. But I think, yeah, why not have a family Zoom, like, people right, that weren't right. at the wedding or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So because of this conversation, Eric FaceTimed her dad. Because he's like, I feel like I need to reach out to her dad because I don't want her to run. Mm-hmm. It was a little awkward at first because you could tell her dad was like, why is he calling? Her dad did point out that she doesn't trust Easy. And Eric said, like, he tries to be honest with Virginia about what a marriage should be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she doesn't always agree what it should be. And her dad rightfully pointed out marriages look different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he does bring this up later with Dr. Pepper again.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with Virginia's side of things that, like, it's up to the couple to define what their marriage, you know, means and what kind of parameters they have. Mm-hmm. You know, there's open marriages. There's all sorts of types of marriages, and what one couple says is okay might not be okay for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And it's really like, it seems like he wants to come in as his own expert. Like, well, I've been married before and
yes.
this is not okay in any marriage. Like, that would not be okay for anyone. And it's like, not true. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of relationships where somebody could crash at an opposite sex house and it's not a problem for them because they trust the friends or they, you know, it's just, it should be a flexible thing for you to define. Like,
right,
this doesn't work for me, or this does work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that you hit the nail on the head with he is trying to be his own expert.
It's like, hey, there's no other experts around, so
right.
Let me fill in all these gaps here.
Exactly. For Virginia's personal experience, they played basketball because she grew up playing basketball. And while they're playing, Eric is smiling ear to ear. It was kind of funny because he was like playing as if she doesn't know how to play. And she like make a shot and he's like, there you go. I'm like, she used to play competitively. Like, she knows how to play. This isn't Paige playing.
Right.
You know? Like, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And then Virginia showed him some pictures, and baby Virginia was very adorable.
Yeah.
She did show him like pictures from senior night and how she wasn't talking to her dad at the time and her mom wasn't able to be there. So her siblings came to support, and there, you know, Eric was like, yeah, like, you know, they talk about that. But then he's like, yeah, like, I want you to need me. And Virginia's like, Because he brings up like how he'll always be there for her. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, he's like, I want you to need me. She's like, well, can I just like want you and instead of need you?
Right.
Oh, gosh. And he didn't like hearing that. But we didn't.
Another vocabulary thing, you know, like.
Yes.
And he even said, like, with Dr. Pepper, like, I asked for someone independent and now she's too independent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them, it's like. Yeah, be careful what you ask for. Like Clara said, like,
yep.
You say you want this, but then you're not comfortable with that. Like, I think mm-hmm. he didn't want someone independent. He wanted somebody that would be okay with him being gone.
Yep, exactly. And just be at home, do her thing, and then mm-hmm. be ready for him when he comes home.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric's sister-in-law meets with Virginia, and I thought this was a very interesting conversation because it was very clear that the sister-in-law is very pro Eric. Oh, would you would expect her to be?
I think she was prepped for this convo.
Yeah.
Suddenly, like, Virginia didn't even say anything about like hanging out with guy friends, and the sister-in-law's mm-hmm. like, yeah, but if you hang out with your guy friends, I don't know if he's gonna like that. Where'd that come from?
Right, she came with speaking notes. Oh,
where so, was yeah, her hidden earpiece? Like,
yeah,
she had long hair, could have been covered up.
Exactly, she should have checked her ears for AirPods. So yeah, they like Virginia like brought up the recent arguments they've had and how they haven't fought in 3 days, so it's been good. And she's like, he wants to be with her all the time, and but she doesn't want him to like feel forced to like do all the things she wants to do. And you know, yeah, like you said, the sister-in-law brought up how like she'd be uncomfortable too if Virginia was going to her guy friend's house. And the sister-in-law said like it was not so great that Virginia goes out all the time with her friends. And she said until Virginia starts to see Eric as like her ride or die, her number one, like it's going to continue to upset him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I wonder where this insecurity stems from with Eric of like not being the priority, because it seems to always trigger him and always come up that he thinks he's not the priority for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the thing I can think of would just be something from his last relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because didn't he say something a few weeks back where it's like, I always get hurt? Like he was kind of.
Yeah. It's yeah. always happened. Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah, so.
Yep, exactly. So then we do get Dr. Pepper's visit about the unanswered questions, and they talk about communication, and Eric points out that they do have different backgrounds, and she went through a lot more than he went through, and things always get better after she opens up about these things in the past. And they touch on family and kids. And Virginia says marriage can be whatever you define it to be. And Eric's like, every marriage should have certain standards, such as cheating. And Virginia's like, well, outside of cheating, it can be whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dr. Pepper leaves. And Virginia said like that Eric gets so stuck on these constraints about what marriage should be. And like she'll bring up something and then he says, well, that's not what you do in a marriage. And she mocked him to him. And I could see how he did not like that at all. And she's like, that's not what you do in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
and then Eric's like, well, yeah, like I wouldn't expect you to go spend the night at some guy's house. And she's like, why would you even say something like that? I'm like, did you forget that you told him you would spend the night at your guy friend's house? She's like, I bet in that moment she was just thinking like some random guy, not her closest friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
She's like, well, what if I'm at my guy's friend's house? You're out of town. It's raining really bad. And we've been out drinking. He's like, okay, you're giving me all these scenarios. And she's like, what does it matter if I come home when you're traveling? I was like, oh my gosh. And he's like, well, there are just things you just don't do. And he's like, I'm annoyed. I'm just over it. And it's like, Eric could have a valid point. Like the root of the issue is valid in that all he expects is like loyalty and respect in their relationship. His delivery is just terrible.
Yeah.
And which, so he can never be received from her. So there's just always going to be on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. And I just always get annoyed at his like condescending tone. It's always him like knowing more and just using that age difference to his advantage, or like feeling like he has the power in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't like that dynamic.
Yes. It's just, yeah. I mean, it's like you said, he's the ultimate gaslighter, and it just constantly, his delivery makes it constantly feel like he's trying to take her freedom away. But it's like, obviously in a marriage, there's certain compromises you have to make. You can't continue to live the exact single life you had before. But the fact that he sucks at the delivery, it'll she can't understand where he's coming from because he doesn't properly communicate it. And then when she doesn't understand, he's just like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Like they never go anywhere.
Right.
So, I mean, that was it. That was all we got for these two episodes. And on the next episode, they, of course, are continuing to argue. They said they're like on their way to retreat, and they said they've argued so many times in like the last hour. And Eric tells Virginia she just acts like she doesn't care at all. And so not another good week for them.
Right.
So was there anything else to point out for them, for you?
Yeah, I don't think so. I just think they have some big issues. And I think Virginia sees it like more than he does. He just thinks he can change her. And I think she sees that like they're so different.
Yep, exactly. And I think he thinks just because he's okay with the differences that she has to be, when that's not the case.
And I did think it was interesting. It kind of caught me off guard when she was talking to the sister-in-law about like, he's not my number one yet. Cause I always thought that she like immediately was like, this is my husband. Like, you know, I put you above my guy friends, but she kind of was taking that back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there has to be a point in every Married at First Sight experiment that they start to be more sure about what decision they're going to make on decision day. And I wonder if she at that point where she's just like, I think I know that I don't want to stay married.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see, but I could very well see them being a split decision and him saying yes and her saying like, maybe deciding that morning for sure.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I think we can predict at this point, like, who is going to be, like, the person that answers second. Like, I think Ryan will answer second for sure. Virginia will be the person that we see their answer second.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter with Vincent and Bree or the next couple we'll talk about, but yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, with Ryan and Clara, do you think Ryan will answer second? Because it could be that he's so sure because he's not the one with the problem.
Yeah, that's true. I just think because we don't see as much, like she said, I'm in love with him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to leave it as like, well, is he like, maybe he's going to be upset about the religion thing. Or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where do you rate Eric and Virginia?
So I think they are at a 3 as well.
Okay. I say a 2.
Okay.
Only because it's so toxic.
I know it's bad, but I think there's a higher chance that they'll say yes on decision day, both of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So they are at 2.5. They have definitely fluctuated across the season. We even had them at a 3.5.
Like right after they got married, they were so
yeah, exactly.
Surprisingly good together at that point.
Mm-hmm. Then they were a 3, then a 2.5, and then they were 3.5. So they've hovered around that area. Never been a 4 or a 5.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily be so surprised if they stay together on decision day, but I would fully expect to get like a breakup Instagram post.
Yeah.
Always got to have one of those. Mm-hmm. So last but not least, maybe, we do have Haley and Jacob. So in episode 13, we did see him in a robe, or we did see him say that he feels weird in a robe.
So weird, like,
because it feels too leisure.
But what else he wearing on his honeymoon? Like fanny packs.
Yeah.
Vintage t-shirts, shorts. What's the difference leisure? Like, does he mean like rich, like lounging around like at the spa? I don't get what, like, because leisure, he wears leisure wear.
Right. I don't understand. Like, maybe it's some, I don't know.
Maybe he's just messing with her at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so done. Yeah.
What if he's just trolling? He's just a troll. He's like, I'm just going to have fun at this point. So Dr. Cal meets with Jacob, and Jacob did clean up very well, I will say. Mm-hmm. He had a beard.
True. A beard is a good look for him.
Yes, it is. And I wonder if Haley thought that. Like, when she sees him with a beard, she's like, oh, he doesn't look that bad.
Yeah, maybe he should have had that on the wedding day.
Yeah, exactly. He did say he was physically attracted to her. But this whole process has been him playing by her rules, and he wonders why she pulled back in Vegas, and he wants to know like what her expectations are from him as a husband. And and Pastor Cal said, he asked him like, does part of you still want to be married? And he says like he admires her like determination and strong will, and he can see why they're a match, so he'd give it a shot. But I think he's just saying that at this point just to say it. I mean, it's because he knows she doesn't want to give it a shot. So he's like, look, it's not on me. She's the one that's not attracted to me. I've tried. She's the one not opening it. And it's the fully, it's completely different story if you ask Haley.
Yeah.
She's the one trying. He's not. He's awkward.
Yep. I really go back and forth. Like, there's some times when I'm like, okay, I can see her side of things. And other times I'm like, okay, I see his side of things. And like, there's always like a different person I'm annoyed with, I think. Yeah. But now I'm just kind of over both of them.
Yes. Over them as a couple. And over both of their perspectives.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter did say, you guys don't know what it's like to live with someone that's that awkward.
She said that?
Someone on Twitter told us, because we were being critical of Haley.
Yeah.
And how she is with Jacob.
Right.
But I think she still, no matter how awkward he is, she has still not given the amount of effort to try to make it work. Like, it's like, it's an inauthentic effort. It's like, for the cameras are here, so I'm going to go race. I'm going to go go-karting nice with you. And,
yeah. Yeah, like, she is just somebody that she would never want to be paired with somebody awkward. Like, it's just probably, like, a trait that she doesn't like. And, like, she doesn't find it endearing, like some people might. And so, like, quirky, nerdy, awkward, dorky, none of that is going to sit with her. She would have been good with an Eric, I think.
Mm-hmm. Would Eric have liked her?
I think so. I think they would have been fine. I think he would have been excited. Like, you know, I don't think he was the most, like, open-minded going in, even though I don't know that that's would have held true. But, like, he acted like he was, like, in terms of, like, how they look. And, you know, it didn't seem like he had a certain type. And so, and he was expecting somebody to not be like super physical right away. Like he was just shocked that Virginia was. So I think he would have been fine mm-hmm. with Haley being a little more cautious. But I think he would have been more Haley's type.
Right. Yeah. I wonder, would she, I guess the only thing is, I wonder, would she have been attracted to him because that's mm-hmm. been her holdup? Whereas like, if yeah, she's attracted. I don't know who she's
like, what, like she hasn't even really said like,
what's her type?
What her type is. Like mm-hmm. a lot of times we get, after wedding, it's like, oh, like he's not like dark haired like I wanted, or he doesn't have yeah. a beard like I wanted, which, you know, even Jessica and Austin, Jessica said that, like, mm-hmm. I hope he's like has a beard and dark hair. And then, but she was totally like good with Austin, you know? So,
yeah.
I think it depends like the approach coming in too, that like she wasn't willing to like even really see, mm-hmm. like she's just kind of, Dr. Pepper called it out, like she is judging him for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, exactly. Who cares what he wears to the batting cage? Like what kind of shoes he has? Like, why is that such an issue? Like she's, I think she's worried about getting people looking at them, and that's not even mm-hmm. something anyone would care about.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. When Dr. Pepper met with Haley, like Haley said, he's independent, he's stable, loyal, he has a good job, he built a great life for himself. But they still can't find common ground or a connection. And like Dr. Pepper said, they don't know each other on a deeper level. And Haley said she really did try, but it wasn't a two-way street. Mm-hmm. So that's her perspective on things. Dr. Pepper was like, well, like we said, she calls people out. She's like, yeah, but Jacob has made some changes for you. And you haven't made any for her. And then they gave us this nice flashback of like her buying him clothes. There was something else he did. I can't remember what it was. But like, basically, he's. Do you remember?
Like how he modified?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did change his style. I think he didn't seem to be wearing any of his weird stuff anymore.
Yeah. He tried like a tarot card reading.
Oh, yeah. Like things that she suggests. He's up for that.
Mm-hmm. Like he's down for anything. She's like, and you haven't made any. And Dr. Pepper said, he, like, it feels like you just wanted someone to drop into your life. And then mm-hmm. Haley doesn't know what to respond. So she starts crying. She said she's cried more in the past 2 months than she has in her entire life. And she said, this feels like a sense of failure. And Dr. Pepper said, it's not a failure because it's not over yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in Haley's mind, decision day was in Vegas. And she already said, I don't want to stay married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because viewing it is already over.
Mm-hmm. The thing that really bothered me about their segment is, I feel like Jacob's question was a good one, this unanswered question, but it never got answered at any mm-hmm. point. Like, why did she pull away? It seems like the conversation then just shift. Like, I think maybe he brought up the bracelet thing as sort of like a substitute issue now, instead of talking about like, well, we had sex and then you pulled away because mm-hmm. like that was too uncomfortable to talk about or something. But why didn't it even at least just get brought up? You know, right. I think it's a more important conversation than the bracelet thing. But then, and then it also annoyed me that this bracelet thing was apparently this big thing. And we just see all these clips as if like they're flashbacks, but yet we were never shown those. So.
Yeah. Like, what a surprise to us.
You had the footage. You could have been like peppering this in. No pun intended, but.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess, yeah, just to tie a bow on that their talks with Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper, they reconvened on the couch, and Jacob said he doesn't want the marriage to fail. And Haley was like, what has happened in the last 10 years? And she said he never talks about what happened in the last 10 years. And he said, it's been really dull because all his friends started to settle down and have kids. And he started looking for a wife around 33. And that's just mm-hmm. what it's been for the last like 10 years. And Jacob asked her about like needing space, and she said it stems from like her being in a past controlling relationship. And Jacob feels like there's enough there. And she, and it's so like he's showing he wants to make it work. And But Haley asked him, like, does he think that she's genuinely the person for him? Mm. I'm like, way to spin it. You don't think he's the person for you. Don't try to force him into saying she's not the person. Like, he's she's not his person.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very calculated, I think.
Yeah. She's like, let me see if I can talk him out of wanting to be with me. Because he keeps wanting to try.
Yeah.
He keeps forgiving. He keeps apologizing. And
I don't think he doesn't strike me as someone who feels like, I think she, you know, she is 10 years younger. I think she feels there is one person out there for me. And I think he feels like, I want to get married before 40, and like, I can make it work with a variety of people, and I just want to be married and like have some things in common. But I think he was willing to like look past that they weren't like the perfect match. But you know, you have to have some common ground, and you have to have some kind of communication.
Exactly. There has to be, which a lot of these people don't want to find a middle ground. So in episode 14, they go to the batting cages, and Jacob isn't that great. He ends up hitting 2 out of 20 of the balls, and she hit 8 out of 10 of her balls. And Jacob's excuse was that the balls were going too slow because they were only going 60 miles per hour. He's like, I can't hit them when they're going that slow. but he said, this is a metaphor for their relationship. just going too slow. Haley did bring pics from her softball days, and she talks about how at age 4 she didn't want to wear a helmet when she played softball, and then her mom also took her to swim lessons, and she didn't want to get in the pool, so she sat on the side of the pool. She laid out a towel and laid on the towel, and Jacob called her a little diva, and
somehow that was the most offensive thing ever. Why? Yeah, she was 4, like, that was a cute thing to say. Like, he's trying to make conversation.
She's like, what do you mean by that? You just call me?
Yeah. I wasn't a diva. Maybe strong-willed. It's like, whoa, like, don't take everything so personally.
Exactly. It's because jokes just fall and fail when you don't have a relationship.
Yeah, when you actively hate the person. Just like, everything they say is like tinged with like, oh, that was a dig. And it's like,
yeah.
No, he was talking about because you were laying out on a towel, like lounging.
Exactly.
This was so awkward, just these family photos, because it wasn't in a natural environment where you would see photos. Like, it just felt really forced. Like, this is our assignment. So I brought these with us on our date.
Right. Yes, exactly. And so for like Jacob's personal experience, they go to miniature golf, and Jacob continues to try to find like funny moments for them to share, just be easygoing. And he's like, oh, what do you want to go by? She's like, my real name. He's like, okay, I'm gonna go by Eagle. And he's like, and you can go by Dragon.
Dragon, what, how dare you? Like, she's, everything is personal. Like, oh my god. Like, it reminds me of, like, I don't know, like a movie, like maybe an 80s movie which I shouldn't say 80s. Yeah. I'm not saying that for Team Jacob, but just that, like, there's the nerd and the, like, the cool girl or something. Like, she so wants to be the cool girl. And like, oh my God, why would you say that? Like, he's just like, everything he does is like, what a loser.
Exactly.
Or that picture, like, he had the picture of, like, at his work event.
Yes.
She was so horrified, which, like, okay, fair enough. Like, that is weird to wear to a professional, like, outing. But, like, to judge every single thing he wears, like, his footwear, like, she wanted him to dress nicer. And so he's wearing, like, nicer shoes and jeans. And, like,
and now what's she wrong? Hates that.
Like, you can't wear jeans to a batting cage? Like, what? Like, jeans are casual.
Right. You're not on the baseball field, like, sprinting bases.
If he showed up in, like, baseball pants and cleats, like, she would have been horrified, right? So, I'd be afraid to hang out with her. She'd be so judgy.
Right? Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, in that picture, he was wearing these, like, very short shorts. You could see all his thigh muscles. And yeah, she hated that.
That's why he wore on my bed. The thigh muscles.
He said, she gets so wound up anytime I wear anything goofy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm glad he knows at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But he ends up winning. So she was like, I guess got to let him win at one thing. Mm-hmm. So they were the other couple to do this little activity. And so the activity where you write a letter to your younger self, and Jacob, his letter, basically, literally, I think I wrote every word of it. He said, don't be a B word. Embrace diversity, change and failure. Good luck. Thanks for not quitting football.
Yep. This is how you know he's like totally checked out. Right. He knows like enough to know that you're supposed to do a little more than that.
Exactly. Yeah, she's like, you wouldn't want to say anything different. And he's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to like change anything because I wouldn't want to change any mistakes that I was supposed to make. Mm-hmm. And so Haley reads her letter and she's like, take chances and listen to your mom because she's usually right. And Jacob was like, okay.
I bet that was like a hidden message. Like, I bet her mom was like, don't go on this show.
Right. Yeah, that the FaceTime they had gave me all types of I told you so vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so Jacob was like, well, what would you tell yourself the night before getting married? And Jacob said, like, his answer would have been, like, I don't remember her answer. It was some, like, so really answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so his answer was, return the bracelet.
Yeah, and he knew. Because he's like, I probably shouldn't say it. And, of course, when you say that, someone's going to be like, no, you have to say it. Like, what? Because they know it's going to be, like, something, like, mean or, like, a little off. And it was a total dig. And then it was like, we got this whole backstory of this bracelet.
Yes, apparently the bracelet he got her, there's this whole storyline. So the day of the wedding, she thought it was a necklace. She's like, thanks for the necklace. She's like, oh, it's a bracelet.
Do you remember her opening this? I totally spaced on this too.
The infinity sign?
Because I thought Paige got that.
Because
Paige got an infinity symbol and she was like, oh, it's my tattoo. This is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember Haley opening something in. Because I feel like we would have seen like, oh, no, I can't wear it because of my dress.
Right. I'm trying to remember if. I don't know.
I feel like there's something shady there. Like, I feel like she. I don't know that she could. Like, when you take it out, look at it, you would know that it's not a necklace. Like, I think she just is not her style. She didn't want to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was just like, mom, take this. oh, I don't think it goes with my dress or, you know, because why would you like not show a reaction to like getting like at least you can tell it's a like pricey item or like a thoughtful item.
Exactly.
And I feel like if it was a necklace, you put it on under, just be like, oh, I'm wearing it, but you can't see it. You know,
right,
but thanks for that.
My dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I went back to look in my notes and I didn't see her opening the gift.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I just didn't take note of it because it wasn't a big reaction. It's just like, oh.
Right. We definitely saw Claire and Ryan's. We definitely saw Chris and Paige. So.
Right. But yeah, so they show us this flashbacks of that on the wedding day, then like bringing up, bringing up that she left the bracelet in her mom's car. So the bracelet ended up in Alabama with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore she never had it. And so now Jacob has this huge issue because the bracelet has never been in their apartment.
Yeah.
And so it turns into this thing of like, he's like, it really bothered me that it's never even been in the state. It's never been in Georgia or in Atlanta. And so she's like, or so you're mad I'm not wearing the bracelet? He's like, I'm just bothered that it's not here. Like, you never took the effort to have your mom ship it here. He's like, shipping is, you can ship for under $10.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, sorry, it never crossed my mind. We had other things going on. I'm like, it's like, okay, well, terrible. That's
the point, though, that didn't cross your mind is even more of the issue, I think.
Right. He's like, yeah, that's it right there. That's the bigger issue. Because then she's like, well, you never wear the hat I got you. So she got in this Alabama baseball cap.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, yeah, but that's a $20 hat versus a bracelet. At that time, he said $300, though.
Did he? I thought he did. But I had captions on, so I don't know.
Later, with Dr. Pepper, he points out that it's $800.
Yeah. This was tricky for me because I feel like it is really shitty to not, like, have the gift at all and not, like, have any point to be like, okay, I want to get that back so I can wear it. It also makes sense to be like, okay, it's a wedding. Everything's hectic. Like, we have to clear out of this hotel room. Like, okay, mom, you take this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it wasn't her style or whatever, you know, she could just be like, okay, just hang on to this for me. We'll put it on eBay later. Like, I think that's totally what it was. Like,
yeah.
Once she, like, immediately knew that, you know, so I think it was like, she probably would have asked for it back if she had any kind of like connection with him, or thought like, well, we're gonna meet up with my parents, like I'll get it in a month, no worries. Like, but she had a point where it's like, well, we were in a bad place, so I didn't, like, it wasn't top of mind to ask for it. But the fact that she couldn't have any empathy or ownership of like, yeah, that is kind of a crappy thing to do.
Exactly.
Even when they were talking with Dr. Pepper about it, she still would not like own it in any way. Like, yeah, I can see why that would hurt him, or I didn't mean to hurt you by it. It seemed like she didn't care. And
yep, exactly.
But then on the other side, I'm like, he should be wearing the hat. Like, if he wants a point to stand on, like, it doesn't matter like the monetary value, because there's no one said you had to spend that much money. Like, you were trying to like impress somebody, or like you didn't need to spend $800 on something, and like you shouldn't expect to get it back. But also I don't think she should be hanging on to it if there's no connection. Like, when they're having that conversation, like, I feel like she should have said like, yeah, I'll get it back here, like, don't worry about it. Or like, if they're on the same understanding, like, we're definitely divorcing, we just want to see through this process. Like, it seems weird to be hanging on to it and not giving him any like reassurance about that. And then the conversation with her mom seems so calculated, like that, like her mom just like, that is so tacky. And then Haley just like smugly agreeing, like, yeah, like the fact that even the mom couldn't be like, yeah, well, I could see why he'd be hurt that you didn't want it. It was like, no, Jake's annoyed, he's upset again about the bracelet, and just trying to like craft the narrative. I think she was really annoyed that Dr. Pepper wasn't on her side and called her out. And instead of like, she can't admit like fault in any way.
Nope.
I do think he should wear the hat. I do think it was really shitty of him to put it on her dresser. As like, it's just so petty and
passive
aggressive.
Yep.
But, you know, he could have said like, oh, you know, it's not really my style to wear baseball hats. He could have worn it to the batting cage. Like,
It would have been perfect.
Or like, that's not my team, but like, I'll wear it if I lose a bet, or like do something. You really can't make an argument of like her not wearing something and you're not wearing the gift.
Exactly. but then it's like, I don't know. After Dr. Pepper visited, she had that conversation with her mom, and she's like, he put the hat on my dresser, and then like I need you to send that back. She was implying that he was asking for it back. He never asked for the bracelet.
No, he didn't.
Back. And so it was like, that was a twisted way to put it, because he wasn't asking for it back. Cause then her mom was like, you don't just give someone a gift if you want to get it back. And I was like, okay, Haley, way to add fuel to the fire. That's not what he was doing.
No. And I don't think he was like, it was weird for him to be like, yeah, the fact that it's not in the same state. I mean, it was that she wasn't wearing it or didn't want it back, didn't want it. You know, it's not like to just say like, oh, the principle of getting it sent here, because he could have offered like, oh, like, maybe he didn't even ask, like, can you and your mom ship it or something?
Yeah.
Because you could say like, well, I'm worried about it getting lost in the mail, or, you know, like, I'll see my mom soon. And like, sorry, like, he could have been understanding about why the mom might have like had it for safekeeping.
Yeah.
But yeah, that didn't sit well, that conversation at the end, like, just the emphasis on how tacky it was, and like,
yeah,
he shouldn't be saying how much it cost. And
there's like trying to paint Jake in this light that he did not deserve. So, yeah, so that sucked. But before that, they did have that sit down with Dr. Pepper. They didn't talk until she got there. It was very awkward.
I made a note of like the music is so funny on the show. And like, mm-hmm. Whenever I have captions on is when I really notice it. And so it was like something like they're sitting there and I was like, nobody talks about the evil that love can bring. The lyrics are so funny. It's like, well, I don't think it's like evil going on here. Like they're just uncomfortable.
Right. Song choices. That's hilarious.
I would love to get the soundtrack of all these like little ditties.
Yes. The soundtrack of season 12, Married at First Sight.
There was one song. It was like, I can't remember what couple it was. Like it was one of the first earlier episodes, but it was like, yesterday was okay, tomorrow could be great. That's just like their musical interlude.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh man. I'm gonna have to start turning caption on because I did not notice that.
Yeah, because it just otherwise it just sounds like typical reality TV music.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Just clip some song, but right. Oh, and one time I had captions on and they were like Elliot Yameen's song, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Elliot Yameen, where do I know that name? And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. That was like season 4 of American Idol or something.
Yeah.
So they actually licensed something, or maybe he just has his music out for free right now, you know?
Right.
It's like, well, they got a real
song.
Yeah. I haven't heard his name. So,
yeah.
Get on the captioner to like look it up and credit it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So from the Dr. Pepper talk, the main takeaways were that Haley doesn't like that he doesn't wear leisure clothes. She doesn't like that he wore jeans and dress up shoes. And
like, why would that be the comment? Like, right? Totally, like, is surface level. Like, she acted like it wasn't surface level, but
yeah, she was like, I don't mean it to be surface level. I know it sounds surface level, but I don't mean it to be.
What's the deeper meaning behind your clothing choices?
Yeah.
Why like, don't you want to be comfortable?
Yeah, but
do you ever feel like too, like when she's in her confessional, it seems like she, it's almost like, I don't know if like whoever's interviewing her is making fun of Jacob too, but it almost feels like she has some inside jokes with that person about like, did this again, once right. again at the batting cage. So I was like, it almost feels like, I wonder if this is a guy that she likes behind the camera that she's like trying to be like, oh, look at this, like I'm not into him.
Yeah, she did have it. I can't remember if it was at the batting cage or some. I can't remember where they were, but she like did like the gym from The Office look at the camera.
Yeah.
And that was the only, that was the confessional. Just her looking at the camera like, here's Jake again. And I'm like, what is going on with this?
Like, it felt to me like there's some like relationship she has with whoever is back there. Like, or it's like another woman that she's just like, oh, can you believe this guy? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I have peeped that. But the only other thing that they did talk about with Dr. Pepper, of course, was the bracelet. And Jacob just didn't feel like he had a basic level of respect from her because of that whole situation. So that was it for them for episodes 13 and 14. And we do see on the preview for next week, they're the only couple that's having a good time. Jacob's like, I'm actually having fun with Haley.
Yeah. To me, I think it's the case of like, we only have one more week left or whatever. Yeah. Like, we know we're getting divorced and we're just going to like, we don't have any worries.
Yeah.
So we can just like sort of try to like go out on a higher note or something, I feel like is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. So where would you rate them?
One.
Okay.
So uncomfortable to watch them.
Yep. They've been a one with us for a while.
I nominate both of them to go on that new show, Unmatchables.
Yes.
Both of them have their own issues.
Too cool. Haley would think, oh no,
she would never do it, but
just a little nomination.
Yeah. Because I'm on her side when she like thinks about like how he didn't talk, like he doesn't answer the questions about what did you do for 10 years? And like, he doesn't answer questions adequately for her. He doesn't really respond, like ask her questions about herself. Like those are fair points to make, but then she always sort of loses points with me when she become so judgy and rude about it. I would also get really annoyed. She hasn't said anything about it, but whenever like she'll say something and then Jake will make this face like where he like frowns, kind of like really dismissive of anything she says. That could just be like a tick that he has, like an expression that he makes, but it seems like I don't know about that. Like it just seems he's not like agreeing with her, trying to like kind of have like a back and forth. It's always a little dismissive of something she says. And I think it's increased more as like he just has checked out of the relationship, but like that would be hard to live with, like some of those things that he just totally changes the subject. So I could think he could be somebody good for that show because he has things that he could improve on in terms of just social, like, you know, dating.
Yeah.
And carrying on a conversation and showing interest in another person and explaining himself a little more, explaining his humor if he needs to.
Right. Exactly. Very true. But I think Jacob and Haley could be in a much better place if they had constant expert intervention. Because if he got to a better place of communication, and then if she was able to just let go of, I guess, her idea of the perfect man, like Jamie Otis, then maybe they could be good.
Yeah, I think they needed, and maybe some of the reason that the experts don't come in early is because they don't want the couple to just totally abandon right away. Mm-hmm. But she did kind of seem like she was never gonna like be attracted to him. So
very true.
They would have needed to know that early on. Like, is this something that you can get over? Like, do you really want to make this work? Because she said she wanted to make it work like maybe twice, and it was not that convincing. So
right, and I'm like, I wonder, is that just like the same soundbite?
She said it only once.
Yeah,
night one.
Exactly. So from the looks of it, it seems like we only have two more episodes to go. Episode 15 and 16. I wonder, are they going to do like a reunion or maybe not because of the pandemic? But they don't have that like on the like the projected episode.
Yeah, they've been doing those like the show before, you know, that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So Unfiltered. And some of those are in person.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But yeah, they usually do a reunion with Kevin Frazier, but it's not on like this list of upcoming episodes.
The way they should do it, I mean, I know they have their set, but I feel like they should just fly Kevin Frazier out to whatever city it is because that'd be easier than quarantining people. And
yeah, like if they're already all in Atlanta, why make it hard?
Hope they do. I like to see where they're at now.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, I guess they say that's why we have couples cam.
Yeah, but I want to know the dirt on the ones who broke up.
Right. They want to cut ties with relationships that don't work.
They're over with these couples because they haven't given us that much.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for these two episodes. Thank you everybody for sticking with us throughout this whole season and throughout this episode. Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recap.
Awesome. And then everyone, you can find me on Twitter, Asia Like Asia, AYSHA Like ASIA. I am currently watching Big Brother Canada and I'm hopping in on coverage here and there. And also, I'm watching other shows too, like The Circle just started. That's been really good. Of course, The Challenge is finishing next week. So a lot of good TV out there right now. So
I'm excited for this random, like, I just saw ads for it. It's like Pepsi,
Match
Me If You Can, because it's like brings together all these like, you know, Natalie from Big Brother in The Challenge and Eric from Bachelorette, Anyeka from Bachelor, and like people from all these different worlds. Harry from Too Hot to Handle.
Yes, Too Hot to Handle.
I'm so excited. That's like this little, like, is it going to be on like during The Challenge or on like YouTube or like a mix of the two?
I am not sure. It did say you. So I saw that it said catch us on YouTube, but then it also said MTV. So I'm like, are you just on MTV's account on YouTube? Or, and then I also saw someone else say that it was coming on during the challenge. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Ali said. Yeah.
Maybe the premiere is on the challenge. So
I'm like, are these mini episodes?
It's like a commercial show, kind of. Like, it's a show to advertise a Pepsi flavor.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm here for it. More like random dating shows. I like it.
Right. I was so excited when I saw this preview. There's Joey from the Circle.
Oh, yeah. Joey
and then
too.
You have Lauren from. Yes.
Oh, yeah. She's the host.
Yeah. Lauren is the host from Love is Blind. You have Eric from The Bachelorette.
Yeah. I like when they blend, like, because I always want like someone from Bachelor or Bachelorette to be on Big Brother or something, but they never like cross networks, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I like this.
This is literally, it's like taking like a little bit of someone from everywhere.
Yeah, you even MTV have is breaking from, ground. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Netflix and network. I like mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, it's Ashley Mitchell from The Challenge. And then someone from Are You the One? So they, I think they did a great job with this cast. I haven't even watched the show or just the one promo.
Right.
But I'm going to watch.
Yeah,
I will
for sure.
Definitely
I'll
watch
find
it.
Wherever it is. I will watch it. And I'll buy that Pepsi probably too.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So that's what I see here. So it debuts on MTV during the finale episode of the challenge. And on MTV's YouTube at 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern on April 21st. And then subsequent episodes will be on the MTV YouTube every Wednesday.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm excited. That'll be good. Love new shows. Love reality TV.
Yeah.
Scripted too, but reality TV is more fun to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, and everybody let us know if you see that Infinity bracelet on eBay.
Right. Oh gosh, yes, please do.
Do you think she's gonna give it like on decision day, or do you think we'll see the scene of her giving it to him next week? Like
I think we would see the scene next, like maybe I would think next week, because I think she wants, or
is that why he's in a good mood? He's like, well, at least I get my 800 back.
Yeah, exactly. Because it does seem like she wants it to be a thing. Like she wants to make a point of her giving, I'm not as petty as you to put it on your dresser. I'm going to give it to you. So I feel like we're definitely going to see it, but I don't know about next week or decision day.
I could see him, if she does that, could you see him saying, you know what, like that was a gift. I just wanted it to like be here and you can do with it. Like, will he then like one up her and take the higher road and do that power move? Like, I don't need my $800. Like, I'm doing good.
Right. He definitely could. And then I would just stick it to her even more. And she's like, why would he want me to keep this?
Yeah. Because they won't like be over at that point, you know? Like, so like for the show, like you have to keep it a little mystery too.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though we all know there's no way you guys are staying together.
If they did, that'd be the biggest shock of the century.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us. And we will be back to talk about the next two episodes. And then we'll see from there, see if there's a reunion and what we're going to do about that. But until then, enjoy your weekend and your weeks, and talk to you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.